CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batzel with Anatole Levin, a veteran reporter for Afghanistan these many decades, and now at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is in London. We're observing the fog of war at the gates of the Hamid Karzai International Airport, where the military is now blocking the gates. The Taliban is blocking the gates. It is unclear who is being evacuated and who is not. There are reports of various operations throughout the country to rescue American citizens, British citizens. We set that all aside and come to the general observations from NATO's point of view and from the EU. Anatole, what I have right now that is firmly NATO is the Foreign Secretary, the Foreign Minister of the United Kingdom, Dominic Raab. The headline, cut off the world and we'll cut off aid. Dominic Raab warns Taliban. Britain has warned the Taliban that it may withhold aid as part of its new strategy of using humanitarian assistance to achieve foreign policy aims. The London government is a critical part of NATO. Earlier this week, three voices from NATO, that would be Berlin, Paris, and London, all conferred along, this is part of the G7, all conferred with the President of the United States. So I want to concentrate on NATO. Is there any understanding right now that NATO is responsible for this, could have planned better, or has to reawaken itself in a new form after this catastrophe?
Well, I mean, I think the most striking thing for NATO is that, you know, there was such joy in NATO when Biden came to power because there was this feeling that, you know, Trump had treated NATO with contempt and didn't really believe in it. Well, Biden has treated NATO with total contempt in the way that he, you know, pulled out of Afghanistan without even bothering to tell NATO. But that is, you know, also the result of the fact that NATO's contribution in Afghanistan, with the exception of the British and Canadians, has been pathetic, really, you know, in terms of the willingness to fight. And, I mean, that does, it doesn't really exactly call NATO into question as such, because, of course, NATO never really previously did fight anywhere. And, you know, it was never really intended to fight. It was intended to deter the Soviet Union or Russia without fighting. But certainly, I think, you know, this entire idea of out of area or out of mission, you know, that NATO must seek new, you know, missions in counterinsurgency and NATO building, that has taken the most terrible knock. There is, I think, deep now underlying distrust between Washington and NATO capitals after what's happened.
In a conversation with the former Secretary of State, former National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, I'm reminded, Anatole, and your remark reminded me again, that on the first day, that would be 9/11/2001. In the course of the chaos at the White House, with the president not yet returned, with the Secretary of State in South America, with the Secretary of Defense moving around, this is before iPhones, a call came in from NATO to Condoleezza Rice saying that the NATO voices, and I don't have a list of who the voices were, had conferred and were invoking Article 5. We know that that is the mutual defense part of the NATO alliance. I believe that remains the only time Article 5 has been invoked. That was the beginning of the Afghanistan involvement, entanglement of NATO. Is there reason to regret that in NATO now, that swift and what you'd have to say, not weighed decision to go into Afghanistan with the U.S.?
Well, yes, I think there are deep reasons to regret it. But, you know, I mean, what happened was that Bush initially, because, you know, as you say, NATO volunteered, asked to help America in the invasion of Afghanistan, and the Bush administration told them to go away because they thought they weren't going to be any good, which they aren't. But, of course, as then later, as America plunged into Iraq, the USA accepted the offer of NATO troops in Afghanistan, but of course they haven't done any good. As a result, NATO, which was able to trumpet the fact that it had, you know, it had never suffered a defeat. I mean, of course, it had hardly fought a war except, in Bosnia and Kosovo, and then only in the air. But I mean, in Afghanistan, NATO was actually defeated. So I think there's deep regret in NATO that they ever got involved in this mess.
There is another aspect of NATO and the EU, which is the migrants. We do not have numbers coming out of Afghanistan now that are significant. We can't tell who's a citizen and who's not yet. The final list is weeks away. However, I do have reporting that there are 500,000 Afghans already in Turkey. I do have reporting that there is a significant diaspora in India. I imagine we could go through other nations in the area. And the Afghans now, to my measure, can say that they are fleeing persecution. They're no longer economic migrants. Therefore, the EU can see that what's coming is another surge of migration, similar or perhaps more than what they saw in 2015, 2016. France has already voiced its opinion that the UK must open its gates to allow the migrants that already are waiting to cross the channel because they know Afghans are coming. Is the EU or NATO working together? They can look very similar. Are they ready for the migrants on the way? Can they work together in your measure?
No, I don't think they can. Many of the Europeans are going to be just as unwilling to take Afghan refugees as they were to take Syrian refugees. Of course, the fact that the Afghan state and army collapsed in the way that they did has, you know, not necessarily, shall we say, encouraged generous feelings towards the Afghans. But also, you know, by now, unfortunately, there have been, you know, quite a number of cases where asylum seekers or their children, Chechens and others, have subsequently joined. You know, they expected a much better life in the West. They found themselves unemployed, isolated, alienated from Western culture, and they turn to Islamist extremism. Well, of course, that, you know, has been noticed by European populations. And so, you know, compared to the past, there is a very considerable pushback against accepting, you know, large numbers of refugees from civil wars in the Muslim world.
Are you expecting, we just have 30 seconds before we turn to the region itself, the Great Cape, are you expecting the Tories to be riven by this as they have in the past against their own prime minister about accepting migrants?
I think that could well happen, yes. And of course, it also reflects the fact that, you know, a good many people in the Tory party hate Boris Johnson for a range of reasons and are looking for ways, you know, to do him down and get rid of him.
I'm speaking with Anatole Levin. He is Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. His veteran status as a reporter is now extremely necessary because we're going to go around the region of Afghanistan. It is 20 years on. It is not the same old Taliban. Well, it's not the same old Pakistan, India, China, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Moscow. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Basham.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.